Okay. Let's just talk a little bit about the parasha. We have a lot to get to over here today. We still have last week's sheet and a new sheet, a lot to get to, Mitzvah Hashem. But in last week's parasha, I think the Torah gives us a very important reminder how to value wealth. We live in a world today where wealth is the beginning and end of everything. Pursuit of the dollar is the most important thing in the world, and people will give anything and everything to have money, and with money they think they'll find happiness. Sometimes it does bring happiness, sometimes it doesn't. But the Torah reminds us that at the end of the day, at least the property or the things we own in this world, we don't take with us to the next world. We don't even own it even after Yovel. A person can own a property, can imagine owning a building, owning a piece of real estate, and comes Yovel, it's gone. Goes back to the original owner. You lose it. So the Torah is reminding us that these things that we think are ours, you know what I mean? It's ours, it's the family, we've had it for so many years, but they can be gone as quick as it came. So the Torah is reminding us that our relationship towards our money shouldn't be that it's mine forever, and this makes me who I am. Now, I point out, you know, I've never been to a Levi when they were masped the guy. They said, oh, yes, this guy, he owned 3 homes and 5 cars and his own jet, and he was amazing. No one's masped anyone like that, and does not say on any tombstone that that description. And he made his first million when he was 16 years old, and his third million, it doesn't say that. Because none of that matters when he's no longer with us. Because not a dime he takes to the next world. But what's the parasha right after that parasha and parasha's Bahar? The next parasha is give tzedakah. Give tzedakah, don't charge ribbis. The Torah shows us the contrast. You want to really own money? The only money you really own is the money that you give away. The money that you do kosher things with. That you talk own. That's what they say at the Levaya. He gave tzedakah and he loaned money to people. That's something we can be proud of. But money just for its sake, it doesn't get you anywhere. And that's what the Torah is reminding us in this week's parasha, that the fact that the Torah takes away, the Torah literally takes away someone's property, frees someone's heaven, takes away all the things that you think you own for long term. The Torah says, no, it's not yours anymore. What does that have to do with us? It's teaching us today that we don't really own anything in a long-term, you know, setting. Avada, you own it as long as you can, and it's important. But long-term, as we say, in the next world, it's not going to get you too far. It's over. If a story became very famous recently when Reb Aaron Cutler was once at a fundraiser, a very, very high-end fundraiser. You had to be very, very wealthy to get in. And all of a sudden, he's talking to a very, very wealthy man. And all of a sudden, another yid walks into the room, and Baron Cutler leaves the person he was talking to and runs over to this man. Now, this man was not invited. He's not rich enough to be invited to this meeting. So they asked Baron Cutler, who are you going to talk to? He said, I'm talking to the wealthiest man in America. So now, if you're wealthy and you don't know the wealthiest man, you don't feel so good about yourself. I mean, how could this guy be wealthy? We don't know about him. So they said, what do you mean he's the wealthiest man? We never even heard of this guy. So who was this yid? His name was Reb Schiff, Rabbi Schiff. I was Rabbi Schiff, the wealthiest man in America. So Rabbi Aaron Cutler said, because he has two very chashuv son-in-laws. One son-in-law was a Meir Hershkowitz Zatzal, who was just nifter, the Meshiva of Stanford, who was just nifter last week, one of the early Talmidim of Rabbi Aaron. And his other son-in-law was Rabbi Feivelson, chashuv Rav in Muncie, Paisi, Meshiva Muncie. He also, this Rabbi Schiff had a chashuv son also. So Rabbi Aaron Cutler said, this guy's the wealthiest guy in America. And they looked at him like he was crazy. What's his net worth? What do you mean the wealthiest guy in America? Because Rabbi Aaron Cutler didn't measure wealth in that terms. He didn't measure wealth, how much money he had in the bank. To him, this Rabbi Schiff was wealthy because he had two chashuv son-in-laws that were Talmidei Chachamim. They once asked the stipler. The stipler used to be tzaddik very often. The stipler used to be tzaddik at many, many bris. They once asked the stipler, you know, it's brought down that it's supposed to be a school of Ashiris. You're so poor. It didn't work. So the stipler said, what are you talking about? I have Reb Chaim, my son. So the stipler money wasn't dollars and cents. Ashiras wasn't money. It was to have a son like Reb Chaim Kanevsky. Taka makes you wealthy. You know, that's real wealth, to have a son like Reb Chaim Kanevsky, something to consider wealth. So it's just a whole different way of looking at money. You know, we look at money as dollars and cents. They looked at money in a total different way. To them, money didn't mean dollars and cents. It meant Torah, it meant Nitzchias, it meant Mitzvahs, it meant things that you could take technically to the next world, not only leave in this world. Okay. Just for scheduling purposes, next Sunday is the Sunday before Shavuos. So being that we're learning so much about Torah, it's hard to learn more about Torah before Shavuos. So I came up with a different topic that we could talk about. So it's going to be Lomdus, not Halacha L'maaseh, but we're going to discuss the Lomdus of Erev Tavshilin. It's a little out of the, off the beaten path, but this year Shavuos, we've got to have to make an Erev Tavshilin. We did second day's Pesach, and we did, we'll talk a little bit about the Erev Tavshilin this year, this week in Mitzvah Shem, next Sunday before Shavuos. Today's learning should be as Chos before Shalem, Chaim Yosef ben Chana Masha, as before Shalem. Okay, so we left off last time. We were on the sheet that says Shir Chav Gimel, and we were dealing with the sheet of Sarambam. The sheet of Sarambam is that there's three levels of obligation in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. There's a mitzvah to teach your son, there's a mitzvah to teach your grandson, and there's a mitzvah to teach what we call Ben Chaveri, the neighbor's kid. Three levels. And the Rambam wrote that the three levels have Kedima. that the father goes first, the father, you mean your son is first in your list, your grandson is second in the list, and last on the list is going to be the neighbor's kid. Then the Rambam dropped one more bomb on us. The Rambam said, your son, you have to pay for tuition, and the neighbor's kid, you don't have to pay for tuition. But the Rambam left off was, what about the middle case? What about your grandson? Do you also have to pay b'schar for your grandson, or that you don't have to pay? So the Rambam was very vague, not clear what to make from the Rambam. But the Achrayim over here bothered with a different kasha. This is what we started talking about last week. We're up to over here, source number 9. The question is, who told the Rambam that you have to pay money to send your son to yeshiva? Where did the Rambam get this from? It's not a Gemara. It doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara that you have to pay tuition b'schar. So how did the Rambam know? So the Lecha Mishnah writes in number 9, he says, Zeloi Matsosi Mefurish. This din of the Rambam that you have to spend money to send your son to yeshiva, this is not found explicitly. Umaharik kasav de misvari adale. And the Maharik argued it's logical. Shekasav umashmalei la Rambam, the kimu de muta litos char, amikrim ken chayv lumoid bischar. The Maharik thought it's logical. Why is it logical? Because once you're allowed to charge tuition for yeshiva, so that's now the new, again, it used to be there was a time they didn't charge tuition. They didn't charge for mikra. Everyone taught for free. But says the Lecha Mishnah, once now we change the Metzias and now we start charging. So once you're charging, then you have to pay. Meaning it's Pasha to the Rambam that once you're allowed to charge and that's the new mode of education, so then that's what you have to do. Correct. If you could do it yourself. But we're right. But the Rambam saying that if you can't find someone to do it for free, then you got to pay. Oh, so Parshat Shot, you learn to take any other mitzvah, right? If I can get a free esrog, I don't have to buy an esrog. But if I can't get a free esrog, now, granted, if you look in the Sifrei Kabbalah, they bring down there's a big Indian to bedafka spend money on mitzvahs. But that's not api aloch. Api aloch, if someone gives you an esrog, run with it, take it. You don't have to buy an esrog. So Parshat Shot in the Rambam, that's what the Lecha Mishnah is saying, is that once the mode of education switched now to the way rabbeim work is no longer for free, and most parents are not cut off of being their children's teachers, which is it's something I don't suggest. Therefore, Zok Telecha Mishnah. It's Svara. That's the Pashup Shah in the Rambam. It's logical. It's a logical Chiyuv. Just like you have to spend money for Esrig, you have to spend money for Matzah, unless someone gives you free Matzah. Therefore, Zok Telecha Mishnah, you have to do it also. But if you take a look in Rav Moshe, in Igris Moshe, so last week we quoted a Dibris Moshe, this week we quoted Igris Moshe. So in Igris Moshe, Yeridei, he writes the following. He says like this. He learns that the Gemara never talked a word about money. And we learned the Gemara and Kedushin together. The Gemara never said anything about money. The Gemara said, teach your son Torah, teach your grandson Torah, teach the neighbor's kid Torah. No one ever said a word about money. The first person to introduce money was the Rambam. The Rambam said, oh, you got to teach your son Torah, even B'scha. Says Rav Moshe, he says, Minolei the Rambam sha'av m'choy v'lam de B'scha. Favan ve'es, bid the Rambam know that you got to pay. V'tzrichim the Torah, k'tiritz marik. Says Rav Moshe, you got to say like the marik. Shehevi alechem mishnah, we just read it before. Du misvara, it's logical. Thank you. Since they charge tuition, that's the way things work now in the times of the Rambam. So you got to pay for it. It's very simple logic. Says Rav Moshe, it now becomes a din deraisa because it's a logical din. It's not just tam atakonas chazal. It's a din deraisa that if the only way to send your kid to yeshiva is with paying, you got to pay.
Isn't that a big jump to say that?
We say it a lot of times. The Gemara always says something which is the rice is a svar. Something which is a svar is the rice. Yeah, that's the claw we throw around.
It's not the rabbana.
No, a svar it could be the rice. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's nichl. It's nichl. Right. The mitzvah is teach you to on Torah. Either you do it or you make sure it happens another way.
No, but it's not the paying is
there. No, not the paying. The idea of, again, you don't have to pay. If you can find a school that's willing to do it for free, but if you can't find a school, which is, then you got to pay. Says Rav Moshe, b'shaych l'estap paying. Says Rav Moshe, now we can understand the suffix of the Kesef Mishnah. We have a very important Kesef Mishnah. And this Kesef Mishnah is very negeh halacha l'maisi. Why? Because if someone comes to you, someone calls you up from a tuition board and tells you that you have to pay your grandson's tuition, and you say to him, why? So he'll tell you because the Rambam holds you have to pay your grandson's tuition. Now he's lying to you because there's no such Rambam like that. Maybe the Rambam holds that you can't say for sure. The Kesef Mishnah was Mesupin. So what's one of the great rules of Mominus when you're Suffolk? You, the tuition board, have to prove to me what the answer is, and you can't because the Kesef Mishnah leaves off with that question. So L'chair, as a grandparent, there's no way any tuition board can make you pay, at least based on the Rambam. We'll see, there are other Achrayim that maybe they could make you pay. But as the Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam, it's not clear. It's a suffix. I mean, in the suffix. I'm saying they can come to you with a halachic argument. Obviously, they can't force you. But then come a halachic argument. They could say, Alpi Allah, you have to pay your grandson's tuition.
Or the time you
leave. Or the time you leave.
Whatever, right. Right. Yeah, they could do that. So if they have no legal tree on you, you could say, listen, what do you want from me? I'm the grandparents. Leave me alone. But if you get a guy who thinks he knows a little bit, says Rambam, says Shulchan Aruch, grandparents have to pay their kids. So first of all, you should tell them that's not true. It doesn't say anywhere clearly in Shulchan Aruch, grandparents have to pay. So are not required to pay for it. Maybe you have to take off your free time and learn with your grandson, but you're not required to pay. The tuition board can't get money out of you. You could. You don't have to. Correct. Right. You have the mitzvah. Right. You have a mitzvah to teach anyone, but the difference is that your grandson goes first. So if you know that your grandson doesn't have a yeshiva, and you know that no yeshiva wants to take him because his your son or daughter, we'll have to get to which one it is short on the tuition. So you might have to step up to the plate to make sure he gets. Now, are you mechuyev to pay for it? No, not necessarily. You might have to spend time learning with him. Which, if I was you, I'd spend the money, but that's just me. Learning with one's own children and grandchildren. Okay, grandchildren are a little better than children. Little children is very important. So Rav Moshe writes like this. Now we understand the suffix of the Kesef Mishnah. What was the suffix of the Kesef Mishnah? The Kesef Mishnah wanted to know that you have to spend money for your grandson's tuition. Mm-hmm. So Rav Moshe, what's the suffix of the Kesef Mishnah? What's the suffix? Why was the Kesef Mishnah not sure? So Parshim Shad, the Kesef Mishnah wasn't sure because the Rambam is not clear. The Rambam has two extremes. The Rambam talks about son, you have to pay. Neighbor's kid, you don't have to pay. And the Rambam left off the middle case. So you can be medayik either way you want. But the Rambam was somewhat unclear. Says the case, says Rav Moshe, I'll explain to you at Lamdas. Why? Says Rav Moshe, maybe only the father has to pay for tuition. Why? Because we know parents have to spend money for their children. To my knowledge, there's no mitzvah that we have on the books that a grandparent has to spend money for his grandchildren. I'm not saying they don't, and I definitely encourage it. But machayiv, we don't find. We do find parents have to spend money for their children, says Rav Moshe. Kimari liftoisoi, you gotta redeem him, pidin aben, ula siisha, you gotta marry your kid off, lamda umnis, shetorch loitzos, ayudeze mammon. The achayrimo e mitzuva aleim lamda umnis. Lachin av teiri shechayv lamda svaru shechayv lamda gambeschar, aval ben benoi shaleka sharach yuv, lachin e lono asvoi shezach lamda gambeschar. Rav Moshe says a little different. Rav Moshe is not saying that the reason why you have to spend money on your son is because you have a mitzvah to teach him. And once you have a mitzvah to teach him, you have to make sure he learns Torah no matter what. Rav Moshe says more than that. By parents, we find in other areas in halacha where they have to spend money for their children. It's not foreign to us for a parent to spend money on their children. We have a whole list of things. Milah, pidyon haben, umnis, marriage, all these things the parents have to spend money.
They're not all saying.
Correct.
Because you can do the bris yourself.
Possibly. True. Right. I mean, so pidyon haben, you have to. Correct. But Rav Moshe is learning that it's a double portion than all those obligations that parents have. If it's not done right, then you have to spend money. But Rav Moshe's argument is we don't find anywhere that grandparents ever have to spend money on their grandchildren. We don't find it. So if it says Rav Moshe, that's the suffix of the Kesef Mishnah. Kesef Mishnah was Masupi because we never find anywhere else that grandparents have to spend money on their grandchildren. So why would they have to spend money over here? It says Rav Moshe, that's the suffix. Avol, the Ben Benoi Shaleka Sharach Yuvim. That's what Moshe is coming from a different angle. Moshe is not looking at it and saying, well, if you're mechuyev, you have to spend money. That's where we would have attacked the sugya, right? The only problem is, if you attack it that way, so why don't you have to spend money for the ben chaver? Ben chaver is also a mitzvah. Why don't you have to spend money for ben chaver? Why don't you? Rambam says very clearly, ben chaver, not a dime.
Maybe what he's saying is this is an element of parental support. Right, there are certain things you have to do to support your child. Some things you can do yourself, or
correct.
You can pay for. Like, correct. You have an option.
Correct.
Some things you can only pay for, like picking up bed.
Correct.
But there are things you have to do.
As a, correct.
Like in America, you good. Have obligations.
Agreed. So we
don't have it for anybody else.
Right. So that's what Moshe's argument is. Moshe's argument really is and therefore you'd put grandson in the same category as the neighbor's kid.
Absolutely.
Right. So that's the suffix of the Kesef Mishnah. The problem is if you look at it the other way, you say to yourself, "What do you mean? If I have a mitzvah to do this." Then I got to make it happen no matter what. Right, that's Jake's argument, right? If I have a mitzvah to teach my son Torah or my grandson, I got to do it either myself or pay money. So why don't I have to spend money for the ben chaver? No, who? Ben who? Yes, the Rambam says ben benoi goes before ben chaver. That's true. Good, but again, but at the end of the day, we have a drasha from a Safri that teaches me you must teach Torah to Ben Chaver. So once I know I have to do it, why shouldn't that carry an obligation of money? Oh, so you want to start breaking it down. Now we have to break down, is the chiyuv to teach your grandson have something to do with the fact that he's my son, my son's son, which would obviously impact if he's my daughter's son. We'll get to in a few minutes. And the other one is just a separate chiyuv. There's a chakira that I heard last week, Parashat Emma from the Meshech Chochma. It's an interesting chakira. I think it's negated also a little bit. Is a chakira is how do you understand the Kohen Gadol? Is a Kohen Gadol a Kohen Hedget plus? Or is a Kohen Gadol a category unto himself? That's just a chakir. I just from one of my rabbeim, reporting from the Meshech Chochma, Ars Samech, Meshech Chochma. How do you look at a Kohen Gadol? What's an afkamina? So he wants to know why sometimes the Torah, why did the Torah have to give a separate Issa Grusha to a Kohen, and then another Issa Grusha to a Kohen Hedget, to a Kohen Gadol? The Kohen Gadol is just a Kohen Hedget plus. So the, well, why did the Torah have to write it again? So Meshech Chochma uses other nafkaminas. But I wanted to use the same chakir to explain a grandfather. Is a grandfather like a father plus? Or is the grandfather's a sugbif nehatzma? He's his own category. It's not, you know, it's not like a father more. It's a separate, detailed category.
And it's going to be a father less.
Well, again, in this case, it's a little less.
Right.
It's a little different. Father different. Like by Kohen Gadol, it's more. Yeah, here, it's father different.
Then a grusha might not be hussar for Kohen Gadol.
Correct. That, right, that's what the Torah had to write it again. Yeah. That's Meshech Chochma Meshech Chochma. He has other nafkaminas, but... So, again, it's this is very unclear to me. We'll talk more... On the new sheet that I photocopied, which means we'll never get to it today, is part of the fundamental question is how do you understand the chiyuv of Torah to your grandson? Is it because, obviously it's because he's your grandson. There's no denying that, right? Because he's different than the kid down the block who's not my grandson. But what starts the ball rolling? Because he's my grandson or is because he's my son's son? Now, to the ear, it sounds like the same thing, right? My son's son is my grandson. No, not necessarily. Right, there's such a thing called a grandchild.
From a daughter.
From a daughter also, right? So the question is, does my chiyuv Talmud Torah to my son impact my chiyuv Talmud Torah to his son? Or no, my chiyuv Talmud Torah to my grandson because I'm the grandfather. It doesn't matter who his father, who his mother is, it's all irrelevant. So here Rav Moshe is learning that it's sad to say that there's a chiyuv to spend money on your grandson is because, I'm sorry, is not to, is because we never find grandparents have to spend money for their children, for their grandchildren. That's Rav Moshe's angle over here. Rav Moshe's angle is, we don't find the Chol HaTorah Kula that grandparents have to spend money. So why should they start now?
We also don't find anything in the
Chinuch. That's correct. So this is not Chinuch. This is a Dufa Mitzvah.
We have no place
correct.
Else.
We also have no other place.
He's learning from that.
That's part of the... That's exactly the suffix of the Kesef Mishnah.
Money, not in any other requirement for a Mitzvah. Right. Money or no money.
Correct. Meaning this is a unique Chiv. We don't find anywhere that if the son doesn't have a Bris Mila, they go to the grandfather. We learned the Sugis in Kedushin. It doesn't say, Hecha de Leimol Avu Mechaive Zeda to give him a Bismila. There's a Chuvah Rebbe Kvega. I didn't put it down on the paper. Kvega.
Yes, we have a carve out here where the grandfather.
So here we have a separate Chiyuv, a detailed Chiyuv from the grandfather. The Shaila's.
Father dies.
Before. Grandfather's not any more Chayav than the rest of Klal Yisrael. There is a Chuvah Rebbe Kvega. Rebbe Kvega had a Shaila. Oh, what? Right, that's the Pasuk. Right, that's the Pasuk. Correct. But that's only by Torah, not by any other mitzvah. There's no chiyuv for the grandfather. Yeah, no, but the question is, we don't find any other mitzvah that when the father is unavailable, it gets thrown up to the grandfather. That's only by Torah. Because the Gemara never says that. The Gemara doesn't say, by Mila, Hecha de Leimol Avua, the Zayda has to be Ma'amal. So the Kivegi has a tshuva where someone asked him that there was a bris Mila that was taking place. The father Nebuch was no longer alive. And the grandfather was being the Sandik. Mayel, forget it already. So the shayla is who makes the second bracha, right? One bracha the mayel makes, one bracha the father makes. So Rabbi Kivega passed and the grandfather should make the bracha. And the people are very against Rabbi Kivega. Why should the grandfather be different than anyone else? So Kivega came up with a chav. Kivega said, since we learned in our Gemara that the grandfather is the chiv to teach his grandson Torah, especially when the father's not around, and he says a drush, that we know that one of the things that holds up a person from understanding Torah is not having a bris mila. So he felt that since the grandfather is mechuyav to teach him Torah, and part of the way to learn Torah is via bris mila, so now the grandfather has more shaychus to the bracha. That was a kivayg shigul Torah. What do you see clearly? That in just bris mila directly, the grandfather has no more connection than anyone else. That's because you're the grandfather. This is a very unique mitzvah. So the question is, in a unique mitzvah like this, what are the rules? We don't have anything to play off of. Very hard to know. That's poshup shan, the suffix of the Kesef Mishnah.
Torah or to teach Torah. If you know what I mean, is it on the father or is it on the object?
What do you mean?
Because the son needs to learn Torah. So if he can learn Torah, the father doesn't have an obligation to teach him. If he somehow can learn Torah.
So we saw last week from the stipler, he pointed out the reverse. He said that by your grandson, it's Vaidatul Vanecha. He needs to know. So if he knows from a Rebbe, he knows from, you know, why you Torah, so you don't have to teach him anything. But for your son, that you have to do yourself. Limadtem, you have to teach your son. That was the stipend made that. That's definitely true. The question is, what are we supposed to do with the fact that the Torah gave us a new chiyuv to teach a grandson Torah? What's the rules and what's the regulations? We don't know. So if you take a look on the next page in the Mabit, Mabit was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef. They all lived together up in Tzfas over there. So if you look at the Mabit, he goes to the Shiloh and he says, "Benoi uben benoi la'achirim, v'chayiv liskar melamed lebenoi. You got to pay money to teach your son Torah." Venira duhu adin the ben benoi paskins them a bit also for your grandson. You know why? The bnei bonim harem kibonim. He throws in that catchphrase which we spoke about I think 2 weeks ago. That's not so poshut when you say bnei bonim harem kibonim, but he takes for davar poshut that you have to pay for your grandsons also. Avol ein echayv lisko lamed leben achir. But you don't have to spend money for someone else's kids. Why not? Zok them a bit ki chiv lisko melami lebenoi hu milmatem oisim les benechem. What's the difference? Because teaching your son Torah and teaching your grandson Torah, those are mitzvahs. You got to do them. Just like you got to build a sukkah and you got to do any other mitzvah. I possibly don't understand what he means. Says the Mabit, the first two things I learned from Psukim. Psukim means you have to do it then. If you don't do it, we force you. So if the motive of education today is payment, you got to pay. But the last one is learned from a different pasuk. Says the pasuk, you should teach your children. So the Sifri says, that doesn't mean your children, it means your Talmidim. And we learn from there that they should be so sharp that when you ask them something, you can answer it right away. From there, we learn that you don't have to pay. What did he see in that puzzle? I don't get this Mabit at all.
And also, according to him, again, it's only Bonim, but not from a daughter.
You don't see what the Mabit would hold if it's your daughter's children. You don't see from the Mabit. It sounds like only it would might only be your son and a Hanami. So the Mabit, I don't understand his lumdus, but the facts are very clear. He paskins clearly that for your grandson, at least your son's sons, you have to pay. But for the neighbor's kids, you don't have to pay. If you take a look at the Yamshul Shloima, the Marshal, he writes the same thing. You don't have to spend money for ben chaveri. The Rambam said the only person you don't have to pay for is your ben chaveri. So what's the deal? But anyone who's not my ben chaveri, i.e. my ben benoi, I have to pay for v'chein ikur. Yeah.
His son,
Torah,
and the kids in Yeshiva
Gedolah,
he's the big
man.
Do his grandfather have an obligation to continue teaching
Torah? It sounds like he might not have to. That's correct.
And by the way, what was the Torah? Didn't we say earlier that it was just like the basic?
Right. So if the
appetite.
If the grandparent, this is a good shaila. What is the grandparent's chiyuv to teach his grandson? Is it the same as the father, which is just mikra, or is it maybe more beyond that?
Well, it can't be more because the whole could be more. You can't make the grandfather more mechuyev to teach more than the father.
That's different. That about more. Maybe it's different.
But I'm saying that it's further. Besides more.
We have to teach him.
But that's ben chaveri. Shinatim is ben chaveri.
According to the Mabit, you're mechuyev to teach ben chaveri. Until it's
mechudad. Yes.
Even more than your.
That's correct. That's correct. Ben chaver, you have to teach more. Right. No, it's different. The pashup shot is because you can't expect so much from your own children. Yeah, he can only push your kid so far. He can always push the neighbor's kid much further.
Do you want to give a disclaimer? Because there's a lot of distraught grandfathers in this.
No, we'll get to it. It's a different chiv. Yeah, Poshup Shah and Eilu Talmidim doesn't just mean the kid down the block that you pluck out of his baseball game and tell him you have to learn with me. It means people that are going to be Talmidim of yours. You're going to raise them as students. Students, you can push much harder than you could push your kids. That's Poshup, right? But we'll get to some of this stuff a little bit more. So Zok the Yam Shul Shloim, Halach Lomai, said the Marshal Paskins, you have to pen money on your Beminus. If you keep in track, the Mabit says you have to. The Yam Shul Shloim says you have to. Okay, the Rishon Letzion, who did not Rabbi Abu Shul, this Rishon Letzion is the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh has a sefer, so he writes, he also thinks you have to spend money for Ben Benoi, made the sign from the end of the Rambam. What did it say? So he makes a nice svara, the Arachaim HaKadosh. He says, if the Rambam wants to teach you a chiddush, the Rambam opened up with, you have to spend money for your son. Now the Rambam is contrasting who you don't have to spend money for. Says the Arachaim HaKadosh, you should have said a bigger chiddush. You don't have to spend money for your grandson. And then it's Pasha, you wouldn't have to spend money for the neighbor's kid. So why did the Rambam stop at the neighbor's kid? Says the Arachaim HaKadosh, it's being attacked the other way. Dafka, the neighbor's kid, ben chaver, you don't have to spend money for. But for ben benoy, you do have to spend money. So we so far have three achrayim on the page that hold for sure. You have to spend that. Again, I'm not saying we paskin like them, but that's at least three gedolei achrayim that all paskin that you have to spend money for ben benoy for chinuch. If you take a look in the Bach, in the Shalos and Tshuvas of the Bach, he says no. He says umashe chalakta bein ben benoy leben bitoy. The shoyel, the questioner, is tying it to the Bach. He thinks there's a difference between your grandson from your daughter and your grandson from your son. So the Bach says to that, I don't think so. He said that you don't have to pay for your daughter's kids. Why? Because you don't have to spend Torah. You don't have to teach your daughter Torah. So if I don't have to teach my daughter Torah, I don't have to teach her children either. Oh, so this is totally an archakira, right? If the chi of grandparent is as a grandfather. So it doesn't matter where the kid came from. It's your grandfather. But if it's somehow an offshoot of your Chiyuv Talmud Torah to your son, and that somehow trickles down to the grandson, so the nafka mina would be a grandson from the daughter. So the Bach thinks, Lanias Daiti De'ein Ze'emes. He does not like this chil. I mean, the Shoyal argued that you don't have to teach your ben, your grandson from your daughter. You don't have to teach and pay. Says the Bach, I disagree. El Hadover, El Ein Ze'emes, El Hadover, Dimata Oimer. Says the Bach, if you go that route, that grandparents have to pay tuition, they got to pay for all their grandkids. Grandsons, no matter who the mother is, doesn't matter. The Bach disagrees with this premise. Now, the truth is, if you remember, we had a Kesef Mishnah on the first page. The Kesef Mishnah was Mesupik, how to look at a grandson from a daughter. He wasn't so sure whether or not a grandson from a daughter is any different than Ben Chaveru. He blibed with a Suffolk. We'll see the Shachas Machri al Alocha. But the Kesef Mishnah wasn't sure, how do you look at a grandson from a daughter? What's the son?
You have to teach your daughter everything she needs to know. That's not on the...
That's not a Talmud Torah chiyuv. It's a different chiyuv. So you have certain chiyuv to your daughter. We'll get to the Nether. One of these days, we'll get to Lama number days. We'll finally turn the page. We'll see there's a whole list of things you have to do for your daughter, other things, marriage, and all these other good things. The Gemara's going to ask me, how you can't force her to get married. The Gemara's going to give us all different answers, how you get your kids married off. Okay, we'll get to it. Right. So that look or not. Don't find anywhere that there's a chibar. We don't find anywhere that the grandparents have to make sure the grandkids get married or learn a trade or learn how to swim. Those are all parental obligations. The only grandparent obligation that we have is just this one about Torah. The grandparents are worried about the bills. How are they going to pay for it? But Zok de Bach, he thinks everyone's the same. Why? He says, no, based on the Gemara Yevamos, he thinks grandchildren are grandchildren. Doesn't matter where they come from, who the mother, who the father is, grandchildren are grandchildren. Therefore, Zokte Bach, if you have a grandson from your daughter, you'd also have to pay for their tuition. However, he says, but I disagree with the whole premise. Meaning, I hold in theory, if you're going to pay for grandchildren tuition, all grandchildren are equal. But he writes at the end, says the Bach, but I don't agree with the starting point. I don't think you have to pay tuition for any grandchildren. If you have to pay for grandchildren, it would be all grandchildren. I just don't believe in the notion. I think the Rambam is going the other way. I think the Rambam is mashma that you don't have to spend money for your grandson. So he's the first one, the Bach is the first one to go off the so far given assumption that you have to. Zok de Bach, no. He made the same deal that everyone else made. He doesn't deal with Arachaim HaKadosh's point. Arachaim has a good point. That deal, that no one really answers to me, that Raya of the Arachaim. But he blives with the way many people assume in the Rambam that it's Dafka Benoy Huda Maskir, Aval Ben Benoy Enechayev Lahask. Comes along the Arsamech, the Goinus of the Arsamech. Arsamech writes it, this is number 14. Again, so if you, again, I'm not, this is not a halacha shir by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm just giving you some of the different shitas that are out there about whether or not the grandparents are chayev to pay Bishar. Now, again, the Mabit sounds like it would only be your son's son. The Bach thinks once you're paying, you have to pay for all your grandchildren, but the Bach thinks you don't have to pay for your grandchildren in the first place. So I guess you want to pick and choose using that Bach. We'll leave that at your discretion. Comes along the Arsamech. Our Sameach has a mechudishdik way to learn this Rambam. Now let's remember, just remember the words of the Rambam. The Rambam said, "Benoi, you have to pay money for ben ben chaver, you don't have to pay money for." Zok to our Sameach number 14. Ve'echadim beben benoyim chayv lamdi b'schar lo niska klal. Points out of Meir Simcha, like we've seen already from the Achrayim, the Rambam never told us what's the status of ben benoy with money. Says the Arsameach, medyuk de reish mash mede ene chayv. So the Meir Simcha makes the obvious horror that if you go from the beginning of the Rambam says you have to spend money for your benoy. So the obvious dik is only benoy and not ben benoy. Mash mede ene chayv. Umedyuk de seif mash mede chayv. But if you go with the end of the Rambam says you don't have to spend money on your ben chaveri. The diuk is ben chaveri don't have to spend money, but ben benai do have to spend money. So it's conflicting diukim in the Rambam. Says Rameir Simcha l'chein nirili, the hachi kaimulon. Says the Arsamech, the way you have to read this Rambam is it depends on the storyline. The im ha'av kayim, if the dad is alive, im kin einu mechoy v'lami ben benai b'schar. If dad is alive, you don't have to spend money for the grandson. Af im benoi ene omid. Even if your son doesn't have the money. Says the Arsameach, depends on the storyline. If the father can't afford the tuition, but he's here, he's alive, he just can't afford the tuition. They charge him $20,000 a kid now, so he's got to make a lot of money to pay the tuition. Says the Arsameach, grandfather's potter. But the moment the father is Nebuch dead, he's out of the picture. Zoktar Samech, b'nei bonim, areim kibonim, v'chayv lamdi v'schar. Zeh nochoin b'svara. Says Dar Samech, this makes a lot of sense to him. Now the problem, obviously, is it doesn't sound like that in the Rambam. And the Rambam is very vague. The Rambam doesn't say anything. So he wants to answer this diuk of the ratio and the sefer depends on the case. The ratio where we were medayik, that the father doesn't have to pay, that's talking about the grandfather doesn't have to pay, that's when the father's alive. When the father's alive, you don't have to pay. Even if... No, that's his chiddush. That's what he wants to say. He wants to say, meaning this goes back to what we discussed last week. How do we understand the grandfather's role? Is the grandfather's role just to be the backup when dad can't do it? So clearly the Arsameach is not learning like that. Why? Because if that would be true, if the dad can't afford it, so then grandpa should become Mr. Backup. He's only backup when dad's gone, out of the picture. And then, right, meaning somehow the Arsameach understood that Kozma, the father's in the picture, he gets stuck with everything, and the father, grandfather, at least financially. The moment the father is out of the picture completely, not just financially, he's no longer here, then the grandfather takes on a chi of even b'schar.
So why, it's a he's not a father plus, it's a separate...
According to him, it's a separate category. And it depends on what's going on in the family situation. Now he's saying just on the money element. On the schar nekuda, says our Sameach, it's gonna depend on what's going on.
What's the father's amount of art?
Right. He's saying that the father would have to step up to the plate and hire someone. Our Sameach is a big chiddush. Even if the father's broke, the grandfather Baruch Hashem is financially stable and the son is broke. And Zok to our Sameach, the grandfather's still partner. Right. The Rambam says Zok garnished about Ben Benai. So, I love the end of it. I rather think it's a very nice svara. I don't disagree. But to fit it into the Rambam is a little bit more difficult, I think.
What's the maternal grandfather? Let's say the father died, but it's his son.
He's not. Again, he does throw in the line of Bnei Banim, Areim Kibanim. But I don't know if he's trying to get involved in that machoikis. He's saying even in the Ben Benoi story, it's still going to depend on what's going on in the house.
Well, about this type of question. Why did the Rambam leave that case unaddressed? That's the question. He knew that we'd been.
That's the question.
Popple on it.
What do we do with the Rambam's vagueness over there?
But he knew he was.
He left it out, right? He left it out.
He always talks about in the Talmud the Rambam says after this halacha sefer, nothing will ever be needed to be written in halacha.
Right.
And Rabbi Berlwein always says there's more svarim written on the Rambam than the
this crowd. This halacha is very vague. The Rambam, it's very shver. It's almost like he omitted it on purpose. Like, let us figure it out. Let you guys break your head over it, what you want to do with Ben Benoit. So this is Dar Sameach's mouth.
Maybe he had Ben
Benoit. Yeah, I don't know. His mouth left it out. Very shver Rambam.
Yeah, he also did, right. He didn't know tuition would be what it is.
Very shver. Very shver Rambam. But let's just wrap up over here because I want to try to get to the next sheet. If you take a look in the shach, this is a little Aliba the Hilfa, so you could... I have the other sheet here. I didn't give it out yet. I know once I put it on the table, that means for sure we don't get to it. I keep it stored away, and there's no Ein Hara Shailot, but maybe we'll get to it. Okay. So let's see the Shach. Zok the Shach. This Shach is in Yeridea. He writes, Kasav Marshal, he quotes the Marshal, Duhu Adin Leben Benoi. So first of all, the Marshal paskins, the Amshul Shloimeh, one of the early Achronim, he paskins, you have to spend money, at least for your son's tuition. Or maybe a Prisha, he brings a Prisha. Or the Kesef Mishnah, Reish Perak Alf, Melchus Talmud Teirah, Kasav, the Kesef Mishnah writes, Efshur the Gam Leben Benoi Chayv Lahaskalem Ruavit. Okay, you have to remember that Kesef Mishnah wasn't sure. He said, maybe. You can't make me pay on a maybe. If the tuition board calls you up and says, well, maybe there's a Kesef Mishnah that says so. Well, maybe, have a nice day. You can't get me to pay. Well, the all right. Ominous part is Bishar. You know, I can say, no, I could, no, but not if I don't have a mitzvah to pay for it. I only have a mitzvah to teach him if I could. I'm not qualified to teach.
Paying for, is that the mominous or is that part of the mitzvah?
Either way, why should it matter?
No, because the mitzvah is something. Look at it as a something.
Yeah, we could talk about that a little bit. We could debate that a little bit. Right, we could talk about it. There's really like this. There's a Geshmaka case where they talk about by, where's the case? By, comes up a little bit by, let's say, a Suffolk Pidyon HaBen. Right, they declare the same shayla. Do you say how much mechavel raya? Do you say how much mechavel over raya? Right. Does it go? Right. That's a good chakira. I want to come back to it for Pidyon HaBen and I forgot. But okay. Zok Tishach. Avol, the Evshu, the Gam, the Ben Benoi, Chayv Lahaskun, Lamed, Vuedin, the Ben Benoi. Three generations. Right? Three generations, they can still get you. Wow, look at that. Okay. Three generations. Avol Zok Tishach. Zok Tishach. Avol Ho Misafkale. This is the shayla of the Kesef Mishnah. I Ben Bite Kaidim, the Ben Chavir. This is the Kesef Mishnah talking. The Kesef Mishnah wasn't sure, how do you treat Ben Bita? Ben Bita is your grandson, your daughter's son. What was the suffix? The Efshud, the Ein Kaidim Ben Chaveri. He wanted to know who goes first. Does your Ben Bita go before Ben Chaveri?
Hmm.
Again, it sounds like from the Kesef Mishnah that Ben Benoi versus Ben Bita, let's say you have two grandchildren over. One is your daughter's son and one is your son's son. Who gets to go learn? Who do you learn with first? So it sounds like from the Kesef Mishnah is Pashut, Ben Benoi goes first. Now the shayla is, what happens if you have your grandson over, who's your daughter's son, and then there's a Ben Chaveri? It basically, says the Ketzav Mishnah, is your daughter's son like a Ben Chaveri? It's a very big chiddush, right? Not everyone's going to be so happy to hear this, but, right, don't go, I don't know if this is what you want to use for the opening drosh for the kids' bar mitzvah. No, a shayla, you know, you'll be invited back to the next bar mitzvah, but in any case,
you'll be paying for the bar mitzvah.
Definitely be paying for it. You still might not be invited. But Zokta Shach, that suffix, he says, the Evshur, the Enkoidim, the Ben Chaveri, the Hechad, and the Schaiv, Ba'aviv. Again, what's the suffix? Where does he get off the ground? It goes back to our original Chakira. Is the Chiv of Talmud Torah to your grandson somehow connected to your Chiv Talmud Torah to your son? Because I have to teach my son, therefore I have to teach his son. But if it's my daughter, where I don't have a Chiv Talmud Torah, so then it never gets, passed down to the next generation. Or no. Or maybe the Chiv to teach your grandson is because he's your grandson. And if he's your grandson, he's your grandson from your daughter also. Says the Shach, Abba Gabi Bas, the Lekamemach, Akan Hashemim. Vili Nire, Paskins the Shach, the Koidim Leben Chaveroi. So good. So now you can use it at the Ramitz. Shach Paskins in your idea that he does go first. Your grandson from your daughter does take precedent to Ben Chaver. Now, you don't see from this whether or not you can, again, the Kesef Mishnah never really got into the Shiloh paying, but it doesn't say anything about tuition. But at least you see from the Shach took for Dava Pashut. That first of all, Ben Benoi, he quotes the Mashal that you do have to pay, and he definitely says Ben Bita goes before Ben Chaveri. So, precedence. Correct. Could be. Good point. That's correct. That would be true. If you want to push him with the, send him the tuition bill. Right. So, that's how you guys
gonna.
It sounds like from the Shach that he's assuming for Dava Pasha, Ben Benoi is better than Ben Bita. It's only a question of, is Ben Bita better than Ben Chaveri? But it definitely... That what, Ben Benoi is better than Ben Bita?
No.
That Ben better than Ben Chaveri? Because it's a grandparent obligation. Meaning, I'm chayv to teach my grandson because he's my grandson. Ben Chaveri is not my grandson.
No, he wants to have it. Why would you think that?
Why would you think? No. Why would you think otherwise? Because the Kesef Mishnah has it said that maybe there is no din grandparent front of Ben Bita.
Okay, so you hold, there's no...
I hear what you're saying.
No Ben Bita.
So that's a good question. David wants to know, now that the Shach is closes the case, and he says Ben Bita is better than Ben Chaveri. Yeah. Is it possible that now Ben Bita is equal to Ben Benoi? Is it possible, yes or no?
No.
Not Muchach. It sounds like from the Shach that he's assuming for the Dava Pashut, right? It sounds like from the flaw of the Shach, but the question is on Lundus. Once you're telling me now that Ben Bita Im Chayv is because he's my grandchild, So why is one grandchild?
No, because at the end of the day,
the only way that there would be a fiddish that the Ben Beno has priority over the Ben Bito,
yeah,
right, is if the mitzvah for Ben Bito
is different,
not the same,
right? So you have
you have to decide who goes first. Once you decide one goes first, that means the other one, there's still a chiyuv, it's just a lesser chiyuv.
Right, so I'm not...
It can't be because of general Klal Yisrael.
No, I'm not willing to split grandchildren into two camps and say, well, there's a chiyuv for Ben Benoy and a chiyuv for... I don't think that's true. I think once we come out that all grandchildren are chiyuv, I don't have a good reason to be a mechalal.
What?
You know, the Chamishna, the Shach thinks for Dava Pashat. He thinks Vadatul V'nechol V'nei V'nechol is Lav Davka. Means grandchildren.
What do you mean?
No,
it doesn't say
that.
How do
you then take that
into... Yeah, that's the suffix. But from the flow of the Shach and the Kesef Mishnah, you get the feeling that they're different. But you have to stop and think about alumnus. Why Tak aren't they? Once the Shach paskins that Ben Bite goes before Ben Chaver, doesn't that tell you that he looks at Ben Bite like a regular grandchild? Or you say no. You say it's three categories. Now we have four categories. We have son, grandson from your son, grandson from your daughter, and Ben Chaver.
Right,
that's
the way I would
say it.
By
grandchildren, it says Vadatul Vanecha Ulivne Vanech. Children of your Banech.
Right.
Maybe, but yeah, maybe it's Lav Dafka. I don't know. Sometimes Vanecha could be. I'm not sure. Vanecha means children.
It means child.
The problem is, I'm not comfortable with splitting the chiyuv and grandparents into two categories. Your son's son, your daughter's son is a different
chiyuv. But by them, it's interesting because it's interrupted. In other words, when you have the daughter, you have no chiyuv.
Right.
And then she has a son.
Right.
Eventually, so then, it comes back. That's good.
Right. If you hold that, right. That's the shiloh. That's what we're debating over here.
I'm still interrupted in terms of.
Yeah, it's a new chiyuv. It's a different.
Your daughter stops.
No, but you don't.
Stops, and then
it's a different chiyuv.
She has a boy. She has a boy. Then it comes back.
I wouldn't say come back. It first starts. Meaning, if you're holding, it first starts when you have a grandson. So let's just wrap up over here a little bit. Some of the Gedolei Acharonim over here, the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Okay, this you got to know. Zok the Shulchan Aruch Harav. If the father can't afford to pay the tuition, and the dad can't learn with the son, and the grandfather could afford it. His hand could reach it. So that means he can afford the tuition. Says the Shulchan Aruch Harav, we force him. The gam kol haitzos, tamoterish, ben benoy, mitzvah, olov, kimoy, Alaav mamish. So the Shulchan Aruch is like a regular father. You're the father now. When grandfather, when the son can't pay the tuition, you now take over that role of being the father, and so you're chayvin everything. I don't know. I don't know Chabad does
that. Is that
which one?
The father
learning.
He says over here, v'yad ein yada av masegis. He can't afford it.
Right. But what if he can't afford it? But he won't.
So I think we force him in that case. We force him like any other mitzvah. Right, the same way you force the grandfather. Force him, yeah, 100%. I think you should go to the father first. Again, I think we're talking about a case where the father, if the father has the money, he just doesn't want to pay, okay? That's one problem. But here we're talking about the father, Pasha, doesn't have the money. So that's the Shulchan Aruch. Go to the grandfather. He says, why? Bishum mitzvah the same in our Torah, the Laman is Ben Benoy. Shedem of Aydat, Levenechel, Levenechel. This is the part maybe you want to listen to or not. Avu Leben Bitoy, Uben Ben Benoy, Ein Chiv Olav, Afilu liskar melamed beitzachloimer shatzos tamatayr elamedin stalka. Says the Shulchan Aruch, but not for your daughter's kids, just your sons. So if your daughter's kids, that's correct.
Right.
That's correct. So we saw that the Shach had a suffix about it. Also, he wasn't sure how far does this go. How far do we extend the chiyuv?
But it all goes through the son.
Right. That's the shaila. What time do we say? Again. The Torah says grandfather. Do we say that's continuous, or do we say at some point, that ends?
Gemara
says
have to bend the nose. Father, fine. It's only a grandson. If it's a din that it flows through the son, what's as far to say?
But even then, at some point, we're gonna. So this, I didn't put it down. There is a tshuva. The Shvus Yankiv has a tshuva. How many generations does it go? Even try some Gemaras about how many generations things go, but it's a question. If we get to that Madriga,
it's the Ben Benoit, there's like no...
Right, there's no Yachas anymore. There's no connection anymore. Yeah. So Zok the Shulchan Aruch Harav, it's only a Chiv Tzedakah. So according to the Shulchan Aruch Rav Gradi, you have to see the next piece of Shulchan Aruch Rav Seftesi says Yeshayim the other way. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Oh, so we had L'chayra. That's a good question.
And of
anything, L'chayra not. The grandmother has no chiv. It says no. It doesn't say in the Gemara the grandmother.
You have to teach your grandmother
more than the mother, right?
That's bris.
So by mother, we had a shiloh. So we saw a chiddush from Chazinish held that the mother's chiv to teach the son Torah might not just be Torah, might be chinuch also. And then, therefore, Reb Steinman pointed out you might even have to spend money on that. But for grandmother, l'chayr and not. Now we'll come back to grandparents in a second. I just want to read the Aruch HaShulchan. Says the Aruch HaShulchan number 17. He says, "Mikomokim benoy koydim leben benoy, uben benoy leben bitoy." Hashochem Paskin is very clearly that ben benoy goes before ben bitoy. Ben bitoy uben bitoy l'shar kol adam ba'kariv kariv koydim. So according to our Hashochem, let's say a grandfather only has enough money to pay one grandchild's tuition. Which grandchild does he pay the tuition to? Ben benoy or ben bitoy? Okay, I don't know. Again, so according to Aruch HaShulchan, Ben Benoy goes before Ben Bitoy. Again, but he only has enough money for one. So that's telling a lot of different shaylos. So I wouldn't want to get involved in that sticky situation. But whatever, that's the Aruch HaShulchan passage. He says, maybe it's the other way around. Maybe the grandfather is held accountable that his son's not making enough money because maybe he didn't educate him well enough. Or maybe it's the father's problem. He let his daughter marry a guy who doesn't make enough money. I don't know. I don't know who you want to blame. You want to blame the father for not teaching his son properly to get a good job? Or you want to blame your daughter for marrying a guy who didn't get a good job? I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah. You have to look it out. But whatever. In either case, our Hashulchan Paskas Allah Maisa, Ben Benoy goes before Baz Bita. Then he writes like this. You have to pay money for your son. Again, if you can handle teaching your son full time, you don't have to send him to yeshiva. Now, there might be other reasons why I don't suggest it, but if you want to not pay the tuition, you just teach him yourself. For your grandson, great grandson, and your sons, your daughters also. You have to. If the parents don't have the money.
And would he hold, how about if it's a daughter, and then a son, same thing? You need two generations of girls?
I would think so. I don't think it should matter.
The rabbi doesn't go to order the Bechorah, so the guy has enough, I don't know, to spend for 10 grandchildren. Child number one has 10 grandchildren. Child number two has one. So all the money goes to pay the tuition of the Ben Benos.
Yeah, I don't see why one should have more kedim. Unless you hold whoever has the chiyuv comes first. I mean, the first one born has the chiyuv first. Okay, so now I want to give that to Shiv quickly. I want to go back to what we started talking a little bit last week from the Zahav Mordechai for a Mordechai elephant. Mordechai elephant has an arichos over here in Parshas Vayigash. There is some interesting chedushim that I want to talk a little bit about. We'll just get started a little bit now. We'll have to finish maybe after Shavuos. But he writes like this.
Next week
we're going to be talking about it in Yonei Yom Tov, so we're not going to get to it. I give away the original also. Okay, I don't even have the original. Okay, I think I left it in the office. So let's see. So we don't have enough sheets.
We're going to be done.
We're just going to get started. We don't have so much time today. So if you take a look over here in the Sefer Zahav Mordechai, it's a Geshmak Sefer. If anyone wants to learn the Parsha Hashavua with Lundus, so you should get the Sefer from Mordechai Elephants. That's all. Yeah. What did he say?
He said he has.
Not in print anymore.
He said he has a set because you got it for sure.
Oh really? I don't know. I have it on my computer. I don't know what's out there in the world of Swarm today. But Zahav Mordechai.
Yeah, he probably did it. So if he has a son, this one you'll have to pay more money.
I don't know. But it's a Geshmaka Sefer. So he writes like this. Let's start off with something he writes. So he says, number one, V'chazina medivi ha-Rambam. He goes back to our Rambam. What does the Rambam say? Sheyesh din mechudash behilchus kamatoyri sh'avi ha'av chayv lami toyri es ben benoy yoysi me'achiv lami es ben b'chaver. So that we all know already. From the Rambam, it's very clear that there's a hierarchy. There's son, grandson, the neighbor's kid. V'ulam ein ze mishum di yaches ha-kurva sh'avi ha'av. He wants to tell you, why is a grandfather mechuyev to teach Torah to his son? It's not because you're like a father, to his grandson. It's not because you're like a father. This is a big yisrael he's going to develop. It's not because you're like a father figure. You know, you're next in line. You know, you're the father's father, so you're like a father. It's not the pshat, he says. It's ain, he says, sharei ramam kala b'chadam achta, es achiv lamid lebenoi, leben benoi v'talmidim. He says, what's the biggest raya? The Rambam lumped together father, son, grandson, and the neighbor's kid. He says, el shal talmidim rak de groin bonim, midachsev v'shinan po v'necha. V'im ken gam b'chiv lamid es ben benoi loy nemar din davio av nechshav av ba'atz musa. Don't try to tell him that the reason why the grandfather teaches Torah because he's a shtickle father. He's a watered down father figure. No, he says. He says it's not the pshat. It has nothing to do with you, the fact that you're somehow like a father. Meaning, because if you think about it, all we have is fathers on mechuyev to teach Torah to their sons. Comes along the Torah, grandfathers. Well, what? Grandfathers, man dekar shmei, who mentioned grandfathers. So he wants to say the pshat is that grandfathers are not like a version of a father. Like the Chakir we mentioned earlier. He's like grandfather minus. You know, he's like father with a twist, right? He says, that's not the pshat. The grandfather chiyuv has nothing to do with being a father. So what is it? He says, so why are you chayiv? He says, I'll prove it to you. The ra'yu lezeh mima shikasev ha-kesev mishnah sham. He says, I'll bring you a ra'yu from the kesev mishnah. The efshur shelodas rabbeinu gam leben b'nei chayiv luska melameid. We mentioned this kesev mishnah. The kesev mishnah was mesupik. What you have to pay for your grandson's, for your son's son's tuition. He says, what do you see from this the Kesef Mishnah? The Kesef Mishnah wasn't sure, where do I put grandparents? Do I put grandparents in the same boat as children? Do I put grandparents in the same boat as the neighbor's kid? What's the suffix? It says Rabbi Elfin, I don't even understand the suffix. Isn't it poshut that grandparents should be like parents? So he says, then Isa Davi or Avnech Shavkav Mamish, Mokum Lusvigza. What's the suffix? You're a father. You're like a father. You're a father figure. So this part, I don't understand what he means by this. What do you mean? You're not a father. We all know you're not a father. Every grandparent knows he's not a father. You can't use it as a tax deduction. Think, right? You're not a father. You're not the parent. What do you mean?
And you can't stop giving the kid back when he cries.
Right. So you're not. So what? Why should it be so posh to him that just because you have to pay for your son, you have to pay for your grandson? I'm not happy. Your grandson is definitely not your son. He has some tzad to think otherwise, that somehow the chiyuv of grandson is because you're like the father? Right, so he's proving from the Kesef Mishnah, from the fact that the Kesef Mishnah even entertained the possibility that you are not mechuyev to pay for your grandson's tuition, must be a grandson is not like a son. We all agree to that. Mm-hmm. Less man, I don't think anyone argues on that. Is there anyone who thinks that
he's a lesser version of it. That's all we're saying.
Oh, so that's the question. Is he a lesser version of a father, or is he a totally different sukhi? That's our question.
Or unless he's going on with Yaakov's tattoo. That we did when we did
Hilchus Kibra Avayim by a grandparent. I'll come down in a second. Hold on. Let's see. So this is where he gets to his chiddush. He says, "V'nira dezeu gam ken yisoy dina shal arama dechayv odom bechved avyam." Says Rabbi Elfed, I'm going to compare it to something else. There's a halach in Shulchan Aruch Yehudah. We had a share on this halach Maisa. That you have a chiyuv to honor your grandparents. Okay. Says the Rama, "Chayv odom bechved avyam." It's Mother's Day, it's not the grandparents' day, but it's close enough. Says the Ramah, there's a chiyuv to honor your grandfather, your avi aviv. That's a diak, your father's father. What about your mother's father? So we'll see the Vilna Gaon discusses that. But Zok the Ramah, you have a chiyuv to honor your father's father. Why? So most of us assume it has something to do with the fact that, you know, he's your grandfather, he came from your father, he and heir. Says Rabbi Elfin, no. He says, you know why? The kivin shalagabi misir sat tayre tila tayre chiyuv miuchad al avi av le moisur le nachtoi. Says Rav Elfin, it has nothing to do with the relationship. You know why you have to honor your grandfather? Because he has a chiyuv to teach you Torah. And because he has a chiyuv to teach you Torah, that requires you to be mechaber him. Not because he's your father's father and you came from him and him and him. None of that. It's the chiyuv Torah that creates the chiyuv kibbutz.
Yeah, but we're not 100%.
So then why is that any
different? Oh, there definitely is a chiyuv. The question is b'schar or not b'schar. Oh, but there's definitely a chiyuv.
So why is it any different than your name?
That's a good question. We'll come back to that. Well, exactly. That's what he's going to point out. The fee's there. We'll get to it hopefully. Right. So that he doesn't get to. So let's see. So he writes.
The Gemara says if his mother asks and the father asks. Correct.
To listen to them.
Not because of this, but because
they're both chayiv.
He's also chayiv in
correct.
That's nothing to do with this. He's saying that it stems from.
He's saying that the chayiv to honor the grandfather. No, he's saying the reason why you have to honor your grandfather is because your grandfather has to teach you Torah.
Yeah, so the Gemara doesn't say that. Gemara says you're mechuyiv because she's also mechuyiv, not because.
Oh, that's with a father and a mother.
Yeah.
We're not talking about it. Here we're talking about a grandfather.
I understand.
No, the question is if the grandfather asks.
No, the Gemara is
the chulif to give the grandfather.
That's not the case of the Gemara. The case of the Gemara is father and mother. Your father asks you something, your mother asks you something. So the Gemara says you have to listen to what your father says because they're both chayiv. We'll get to this Gemara a little later. I don't think the Gemara talks about my parents. Maybe it does.
Grandfather has an equal obligation
to
his grandson as the father does to
his son. No. There could be the chiyuv to mechabed your parents, or not because.
He says it's a separate obligation. Grandfather has to teach grandson.
Right, like we have.
Did I have this one shirt? Who teaches him first? The father or the grandfather?
All right, so we had this issue a little bit. Right, we had this issue last week, right. So again, if you learn that the grandfather's keep only kicks him when the father's not around. No, he's saying it's an obligation, but we pointed out already from the Rishonim that it could be that obligation only, meaning it's still an obligation, it just might never come to fruition because the father's doing a great job.
Right.
His Raya is just teaching you that it's on the side.
Right. I mean, he's learning that the reason
why you have to, he's not getting involved in the nitty gritty lumness of why you have to teach your grandson Torah. He's just saying that the reason why the kibud comes from the chi of Talmud Torah. Meaning it's not about, now let's go back another step. So why do I have to teach my grandson Torah? Because he's my grandson. That's for sure true. But that's not the point. I mean, according to him, let's say there'd never be a mitzvah that grandparents have to teach their grandchildren Torah. There'd never be a din you have to honor your grandparents. That's his point.
And the honoring your grandfather is because he has a field to teach you or because he's actually teaching you?
So it sounds like... It's a good question. It sounds like the way I understand what he's saying is that the certain people that have chiyuvim to you, you have to honor them, whether or not act upon it or not. But the fact that the Torah said he's responsible for your Torah creates a respect to him. So what come out according to this, if the Torah would have never written, there would never be a din chiyuv, according to Rabbi Elifelt at least, of honoring your grandparents. Again, that doesn't sound great. That's not a Hallmark card at all. But... oh, good. We got to deal with the neighbor's kid. I have a problem with that. We'll get to it. Now, what's his raya, says Rabbi Elephant? Says Rabbi Elephant, I'll bring you a raya. You have to remember, if you go back to Yeridea, in Yeridea, there's three interesting chiyuvei kibbut. There's a chiyuv kibbut to parents. That's typical. That's a pasuk in the Chumash. Then there's a chiyuv to your in-laws. Chayiv adam l'chvayit chamosai. Says in Shulchan Aruch, you have to honor your father-in-law. And if you look in the Noisei Kehillim, they all say Huadin Chamasa, mother-in-law also, right? And then we know there's also a Chiyuv to Mechabed Achiv Agod. Those are the three Chiyuvim that we have. So says Rabbi Elephant, what's Takab Shat in that Chiyuv? To Mechabed your father-in-law. What? He didn't give birth to you. He didn't change your diapers. He didn't deal with you when you were, right? That's always the question. Why do you have to honor them? So he says, Umadukti Moibi Divir Amosha, Hevi Din Zed Chayiv Adam Mechabed Avi Yoviv. La Acher Halacha Shechayiv Adam Mechabed Az Chamas. Right after father-in-law throws in the Ramah, grandfather. Why? He's trying to build up his proof. That you're not chayv to honor your father because you're related to your father. You're not related to your father. It's not a kurva. It's not a relationship-based chiyuv. It's not because you're related, because you're not related. Therefore, Elohu din kovig mitzanatzmoy. It's for whatever reason, because you married his daughter, that is why you have to honor him. Same thing with the grandfather. You're not honoring your grandfather because you're related to your grandfather. It's not the pshat. You're honoring your grandfather because there's something else special, unique about grandfather, which is that they teach you Torah. Therefore, set up elephant, it's taka very meduik. There are more listed altogether those people that you're not honoring because of relationships. You're honoring for other reasons, not because of blood. So according to this, we'll get to hopefully after Shavuos. So this is the problem that I have. This is going to get even more complicated, and we'll see in another piece. So it comes out according to the Shtickel Torah, and this is what the Vilna Gaon held. The Vilna Gaon held that there's no chiyuv to honor your mother's father. The fact, Rabbi Elephant, why? So he says, according to this, it's very gishma. If you hold that there's no chiyuv to teach your daughter's son Torah, then the reverse is also true. Very gishma.
Why is it at least like a father-in-law, though?
I'm saying... If the whole chiyuv of grandparents and grandchildren is connected to the chiyuv Talmud Torah, then it has to be consistent. And therefore, since the Vilna Gaon writes there's no chiyuv to be mechabed your mother's father, says Rabbi Elephant, it must be because he holds like that suffix, that there's no chiyuv Talmud Torah to your daughter's son. If there's no chiyuv Talmud Torah to your daughter's son, in return, there's no chiyuv covet.
Since when does respecting your elders apply to learning Torah?
That's what he's saying. There is no such meaning. He's learning. There's no such thing honor your grandparents because they're your parents' parents. That's not the pshat. That's his chiddush. His chiddush is that you're not honoring your grandparents because they're your parents' parents, which might be mashma like that from Gemaras and Makkos and other places. But he's saying no. He's saying that a whole chiyuv stems from the relationship of Torah. So if you have it, then add that. Okay. Mitzvah, next week we'll get into Erev Tavshilin. Then after Shavuos, we'll return to this. This no. regular.
Thank you, Rabbi.
That's why I did.
Thank you.
I don't know who told him. He went to the
Right.